We're going live.
Love Talk Radio.
Rainbows, I can do that.
A man decides after 7 years. That's why he goes there for, is to unlock the door. Well, those around him created silently.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Vibe Time with Jerry, Blog Talk Radio with my co-host David Flowers, Dennis Eslock, and our guest Frank Lazaro from New Jersey Rope. I don't know where John Savage is at. He seems to be missing in action.
I sent him the link and he's seen the link, so.
Yeah, so maybe he's just running a little late. So. Y'all know that the first Tuesday of every month we have professional paranormal roundtable. Right, Dennis?
Yes. Exactly. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to see all of you. Thank you for having me on again. It's another wonderful night. Dave, I don't know what you find so funny, my friend, but it's nice to see your beautiful smile and your laugh. I hope you're doing well, sir. And Frank, it's a pleasure to meet you. New Jersey, beautiful state. I love the Northern Territories.
Is there a sign behind you, Dave? Does it say, fuck off or rainbows?
It says Harley Davidson. I understand you're from New Jersey. It's kind of hard to distinguish that. And literacy is not great.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Harley
Davidson.
Just a reflection. That's what it is.
Hey, Sully.
Hey, Shayla. Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Ronnie. Hey, John Sullivan.
Well, good.
And all those that he just named. Welcome aboard. Nice to have you. Hi, Sully.
Can you see the comments?
Well, I do. So I lost that dollar to you, Jerry.
You lost the dollar.
That's all right. That's all good. That's all good.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Where are your comments?
If you...
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Now, Jeremy, which part of last week's show did you enjoy? The part where I was an obnoxious asshole or the part where we shared educational knowledge?
Educational knowledge?
Well, I mean, I'm sure at some point through there, because the genius that we have amongst us, I'm sure there was some educational value. I don't recall what, because I barely remember what I ate for breakfast or dinner, and that was an hour ago, but I'm sure we shared some knowledge.
Of course we did.
And I have full faith and confidence that Frank here from New Jersey Rope is going to share a ton of knowledge with us tonight.
Sure.
Looks like a very intelligent individual. I've never spoken with him, but it's nice to have you on board, Frank. Welcome aboard.
Well, we appreciate you having us or having me on board, yes. And I hope to share as much knowledge as I can.
The asshole part was very entertaining. I like Dave telling Jerry she didn't share the pictures correctly. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy, you just cost me a dollar.
Sure did.
So, behind the scenes, I told my wife, all right, I have to go upstairs and do my podcast. For those that know my wife, Hope, absolute sweet woman, I have no clue why I deserved or managed to get this saint of a woman. But she said, oh, so you're going upstairs and be rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. And I said, no, I will be rainbows, unicorns, and fairy dust tonight. So I told these folks that I will do that. They said I couldn't. And that if I did, I bet that Shayla would be the first one to comment that I am way out of character and ask what the fuck is wrong with him. And Jeremy beat Shayla to the comment. So it cost me a dollar.
A whole dollar. Jeremy said he'll bring you some money in a couple of weeks when he comes to the cabin or when they come to the cabin.
Nice, nice. I need it.
Pay for your finger.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Which, by the way, just an update, folks.
Yeah, yeah, we need an update.
I went back to Doc yesterday. Occupational therapy right afterwards. The stitches are still in, or 2 weeks later. It has not fully closed up. We still have a seepage. I still have nerve damage in it, even though they worked on that. But from the first knuckle out is asleep, all the pins and needles. And then the second one is numb. Now, this will give you an idea how much of an asshole I am. While I'm sitting with the PA, the physician's assistant, and my hand is laying on the table, and I said, this part is still numb. She goes, well, how numb? Well, she had a little pair of scissors laying there where she cut the dressing off, and I stabbed it. I went, that numb. Oh, my God. Like, I assume that means it's, like, very numb. Very.
Seepage.
So, yeah.
Seepage.
Yeah, it's, it hasn't fully closed. So, I don't know exactly. It's not infection. It's just where it is pushing extra, I guess, fluids to it to help heal the wound. So, but it's constantly sticking to the bandages, so I got to change the damn bandage out once a day.
Yeah.
They did change the type dressing that I'm putting on it, though. So that's a help. But at least I've got, other than the bandage, I do have decent mobility in it.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose mobility.
That's good. That's really good.
Sore as shittle.
Yeah.
I have discovered, though, I never realized just how much I smacked my fingers at work.
Until that.
Until I did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
opening up your fingers wide open with tendons being exposed is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Because that's what it was.
Yeah,
not pretty.
It was not one of my better moves.
No.
I've certainly done better things.
Of course.
But I think because I have to do occupational therapy and I have to do, little workouts and everything with it, Hope will probably be much happier later on than when it heals. Welcome aboard, Frank.
Yeah. Hey, John Stephen. Good Lord.
Hey, John.
That's all she is. I tried to tell you.
Hey, Mr. Stevens.
Tina said hello, Frank.
Hi. Right.
Oh, Tina's on? Okay.
She's on the phone for now.
On the phone?
Yeah. On the call in.
Don't let her hear you talking like that. she's the creeper of our group, that's for sure. This show would go a whole different tangent if she was on here.
Yeah.
That finger.
send her the link, David. Send her the link.
I mean, we can take it down rabbit hole. That's fine.
How you doing, John?
The first time.
How you doing, John Savage? He's quietly sitting patiently on mute, off mute, waiting.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. So, what topics do we want to talk about with Paranormal Roundtable? Anybody got anything interesting? What would be your thoughts? I can't remember where it was at now. Dennis, you're familiar with Gloucester County, right? TC Walker Road. Anybody ever been off of that TC Walker Road? Okay, well, it's...
Has Kimberly joined us yet? Because she would definitely know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Anyway, somebody says they sighted Bigfoot out there in Gloucester County, TC Walker Road. Now,
from a realistic standpoint, I could see it as a possibility. I mean, it's fairly isolated area out through there. I don't know where TC Walker Road is, but if it's anywhere near like Haven Beach and so forth, there's a ton of swamp land out there, and most of your sightings are either mountainous regions or swamp regions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one is kind of residential / rural, but getting more residential.
They have a lot of sightings of the Bigfoot up here in a place called Batsto, in the very woody pineland sort of area.
Speaking of pinelands, how far are you from Pine Barrens?
My house, where we live, to be honest with you, Pine Barrens are huge. So I'm right outside of Philadelphia, over 10 miles outside of Philadelphia. But Pine Barrens actually start, it's only maybe about a mile or two from us, the edge of them. You would never know you're in the pinelands. It's all filled up and it's not woody, but the actual pinelands before it became developed was actually there. So today's by standard of what you're thinking of pinelands today, I think they were probably about 15, 20 minutes away, the actual pinelands.
All right. Now, the correct me if I'm wrong, the pinelands and pine barrens are
It's a huge area. It's the more central in the state. It becomes a lot more massive. It's all wooded out. There's all nothing but sand and pine trees and such. So there's a local old cemetery that I've actually accessed to from time to time that they're back there, and they're in the center of the Pine Barrens, and there's actually been numerous sightings of Bigfoot in that area. They actually have organized hunts in that area where they bring out groups looking for them. So I've never done it, but known some people that have, and they have all kinds of things out there.
Hey, Shadow Seekers Paranormal.
Correct. Pine Barrens is what, 7 million square meters?
Yeah, it's huge. I don't know how, off the top of my head, I wouldn't know the number, but it's gigantic. A lot of the things goes from I do investigations down up to the White House. One of our Atlantic City, we just have a lighthouse down there called that Seeking Lighthouse. They've had claims they're having the Jersey Devil been sighted around their tower, I guess you could call it, the White House itself. So yeah, they've been around. There's the whole lore of the Leeds family, I think, came from. That's the name of the family.
That sounds right. And Jeremy just corrected me in chat there. He's 1.1 million acres. 1.1 million acres, Google.
Yeah, I know it's huge. And they say they, now my kids, they actually have taken field trips with, you know, their school. Yes, strange field trip, but they've gone to places such as the house of the Jersey Devil. It's like a little abandoned, it's a park thing, but it's a little abandoned house, I guess, with log cabin kind of thing out in the middle of the woods that tends to be where the story started and the whole nine yards. So it's a big thing in certain parts of the state, Jersey Devil.
And Jeremy did verify it is the Leeds family. And if I remember right, she was giving birth to her sixth or seventh child.
It was a lot.
And apparently she said, by God, I hope this one is a demon.
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, here we have the Jersey Devil. So, but here's my question, though, and I want to pick your brain on this for a minute, Frank. By the way, Steve White in chat wants to know if you're familiar with Clinton Road.
In North Jersey, yes. Yeah, I've heard of Clinton Road. I've never actually been on it, but yeah. I know some people in my group have done it.
So we're going to tie that one into my question for you. Hi, Patrick. Plenty of places that have folklore, myth, legend, Jersey Devils myth, folklore, legend, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and all of that. What is your thoughts on typical folklore like that?
Like cryptozoology?
Cryptozoology, mostly just, folklore. Like where I grew up, it was called the Screamy Mimi Bridge. And apparently some bride on her wedding day was riding their motorcycle. I don't know why. But somebody had strung piano wire across the bridge and decapitated her. And if you go out at midnight, you honk the horn three times, turn off the motor, turn off the lights, she'll pop up.
Yeah, we have plenty of stories like that here. Local, where I'm at, not too far, we have there's a story of it's called in Hamilton, New Jersey, but he's apparently this little boy who was hit crossing the street road playing basketball. And the story behind it is you're going into a folklore kind of thing, been passed down from generation to generation. And we've actually tried it. We went out and thought we had experience out there. Nothing happened when we were there, but we made our own mischief when we were out there. the story was if you park at a certain street light, with like three street lights off from the end of the road, and you turn your flash your headlights on and off, then the little boy would be seen running towards your car. So that's sort of a story that's been passed down. I don't know if there's investigated whether or not it really happened, whether it was a child killer. This is back when my teens in college. Hanging out with my buddies. We used to go out there and try and sneak people. We had a funny story with that one time. We were out there, we brought a couple new people out there. We were sitting on the car, foot of the car, waiting for this to happen. My friend at the time had set up his tape deck in his car to have like a part of the tape where it would restart itself. So we're sitting there and we're all being quiet, and all of a sudden the music turned on. Loud, he had a flare, and the dude that had never been there before jumped out of his damn pants and ran down the street. Towards when it got there, it's funny as hell. But, things like that we used to do. You have that one, you have one of the things over there. So you always have the Jersey Devil stuff. It's a folklore. My opinion of it is you ask me what my opinion of it is. I nothing's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, this universe is big and a lot of unexplained things in it. If you believe in extraterrestrials, anything's possible. But I can't say I've ever encountered a Bigfoot type of thing. I mean, to me, that's something that's been passed down. It's a story passed down. I don't have any interest in really trying to find Bigfoot. I think you're kind of, you know, in my opinion, you're sort of wasting your time with that. But, you know, never been offered the opportunity to either. So, you know, once I was surrounded by it, I grew up with it, all around us. But, you know, they say anything's possible. There's a lot of things we don't see with our own eyes. Why not? Why might not it be there? Right? You say that it doesn't exist, you just don't understand it.
My thought is, I think for the most part, most folklore has some basis of truth that began that story. And then as it was handed down and handed down, you know, there's a little bit of whisper down the alley, you know, what's it been called?
Hey, after
Native Americans have been claiming to see Bigfoot-like creatures for forever. I mean, so... I mean, we all base a lot on, I know in this area, anyway, based a lot on what Native American influence of this area is. This area was a lot of Native American old, you know, areas where they, you know, thought to be cemeteries or Native American, you know, burial grounds or, so the land itself had, was, you know, a lot of creeks and whatnot, had a lot of little villages along the creek. I mean, I'm part of a Gloucester Township. I'm another Gloucester. Well, it's funny you said that earlier. But I'm part of the Gloucester Township historical committee here, where we appointed by the mayor to oversee and more or less be a committee that takes care of the historical buildings in the area. And it's thought one of the stories, the history that goes along with that house is that it's built along the creek, and we're not getting too much into the detail of the history of it. It was at one point in time served as a tavern for 10 years, and then it was a private home for about 200 years before it was finally sold to the township for a dollar, and well, now here we are. But it's built on what used to be called Irish Road. That road actually was built, it was a sanctioned road. It was actually the government of the area. They funded it so that it actually would be a means of travel other than the creek. But they built it along the Native American trail that was there. So all along that area, there were all kinds of campsites or whatever. I've investigated places where along the Delaware River here. So there's, you know, known the, you know, Native American, you know, settlements, where they've actually done digs and found artifacts and whatnot. You know, they all, so I was back one place in Paulsboro, New Jersey, that actually found stuff that was thought to be prehistoric in nature, kind of, you know, old, really old, like how far back they said it was thousands of years of Native American, you know, looked like mutable stones, but these experts came along and said they were arrowheads or whatever. So interesting stuff with that. So those stories have been around forever. I mean, they've taken with the creatures. There's a place in the Pocono Mountains, not too far from us. They actually have an entire Native American museum there, where one section of the museum is just dedicated to that particular entity, that creature, that they claim to have seen. So why isn't it possible? I just don't understand it. But Loch Ness Monster, you know, how many people claim to see it? I don't know. Do you know if it's real or not? I mean, I'm a believer when I see it more than when I think people pass down stories, like saying that, you know, that become, you know, reality from one in some ways or another. So,
yeah, I think, you know, at the core of most folklore, I think there was something that went on that started that story. But like I said, man, I think it's just a matter of, you know, whisper down the alleyway of how many times it's changed. Mr. Savage, up around your old stomping grounds, the tundra, what'd you guys have for folklore?
I mean, we had the Winnebago up near Bemidji, near the Iron Range, and the occasional Bigfoot up in that neck of the woods too.
But like, you know, like my Screamy Mimi Bridge, you know, where you honk the horn, turn out the lights, and all that mess.
Did you guys have something similar up that way?
Yeah, I mean, we had there was a bridge up near Lake Mille Lacs where if you turn your car off, kind of like Crawford Road down here in Hampton, you could hear kids screaming. There was a story that back in the 20s during a winter storm, a school bus went off the bridge into Lake Mille Lacs, at least into one of the rivers of at least Lake Mille Lacs, and all the kids died. And, every now and then, if you park your car there late at night, hear the screeching of the tires and the kids crying. And occasionally, some people say, oh, you know, these little handprints. You know, that type of story.
Back of the car.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that one, there was a network paranormal show. You know, you park on the railroad tracks and you get handprints to push your car off. Now, they debunked that one as being a balloon building. Greetings, Mr. Bancero.
Hey, Chris.
What's your take?
Again, we investigate this stuff on a regular basis. I mean, we're always trying to help the something that, you know, it depends on the evidence that goes along with it, really. If there's enough to prove it, you can argue it, you know. The problem is, I don't know if you can necessarily prove that. I guess it's way too much. I mean, it's one thing to pick up a ball and throw it across the room. It's one thing to push a car.
I can barely get them to push a ping pong ball. I don't think they're pushing my car.
No, I don't think so.
I think most of those are bullshit. They're optical illusion. You know, they brought out the great equipment and discovered them actually downhill.
But there's a road here that it looks like you're sitting when you actually go. The way the optical illusion is, I forget what it's called, but the down terrible with that. But the road that the where you're facing down, you're actually water rolls uphill sort of thing. It's just an optical illusion. It's not really the way it's graded out. It's a long straight road that the appearance that the water flows opposite direction. I've never seen it, but I've known people who are going out there and they validated it that it does look that way. Everybody knows it's not true, just the way it appears.
Wow.
If it's your car sitting there, they'd say, join us.
Now, if it was my car, they'd chalk the wheels.
Yeah, so I'm saying, they want to join you.
He's coming to join us. No, push the car out of the way.
Jeremy said in the situation where a car is about to get hit might be a guardian angel or something like that.
I mean, I guess that's possible, but I mean, most of the ones that, and I'm just referring to like the folklore and the legend and so forth, you know, most of those I think are more so optical illusion. It's actually a downhill incline. Nothing's actually pushing your car except gravity. But I think, you know, like I said, man, I think the biggest majority of folklore, legend, myth, all of that, I think there was some basis in truth. Something happened to start that legend. You know, I mean, and it could just be that, you know, a couple of guys were sitting around and, bro, up and we didn't start talking about this shit. Is it true? I don't know. But, you know, it takes a good imagination to come up with a lot of these folklore and legend things.
Anderson's asking, what about the baby powder that Dow's car...
The car with, yeah.
Well, the baby powder they doused the car with, they claim to have handprints on the back.
Yeah.
If you actually look at it, you could not see
the actual handprints that they're saying, oh, this looks like a handprint here. And they moved the camera to a half dozen angles, and it just didn't show up. It did not prove to be real. I give them props and kudos for trying. And yes, Shayla, I was smoking a Sharpie because
hey, Tyler.
I didn't smoke anything else. Hi, Tyler. See, Ronnie, you didn't see handprints either. But, I mean, come on, it made a great episode. And that's all they're about. Sensationalism, they don't give two shits about realism. We've already proven that. There's been enough shit fake. Now, I'm not saying everything is fake, because they've had some amazing shit show up on camera, and I'll give them kudos for that. Their reactions, you know, it's entertainment. It's television. And I remember years and years ago when they first became big with their piece of evidence, video captured from, I want to say it was the Goldfield Hotel, where the brick and the 2x4 flew across the room. You could tell from their reactions that wasn't fake. I think they nearly shit themselves.
And I did see a follow-up to that episode where supposedly, now I don't know how true it was, but supposedly they had some sort of physicist watching that video and said that there is no way that could be fake.
Yeah,
with the technology we have at that point in time, they could not fake that.
Yeah, and you know, and I think so. I had somebody pose the question to me, I don't know, 2 years ago. So, what do you think of Zach Bagans? And I said, you know what? I think the character that he has developed for his series is a douchebag, but I think he's a fucking genius.
I'm sure he is.
And he cocked his head and looked at me and goes, "What do you mean by that?" And I said, "Not a damn one of the investigators that I know can hand the key fob to their brand new Ferrari to the valet at the casino and say, park this for me, I'll be back later on."
Mm-hmm.
But he can't. And it's because he's a marketing genius. And, you know, what I found out after I stated this was, you know, I'm personal friends with him. No, I didn't, nor do I give a shit that doesn't pay any of my bills. But he then proceeded to tell me that you are spot on, that's just the character he has developed. You know, he's a mama's boy. No, but I can see that. And then he brings up a episode, the final visit to the Goldfield Hotel. And this is where they had a quarter thrown. They believed it was Mark and Debbie Constantino. I was personal friends with them, so I knew exactly what that noise was when I heard the quarter. But after that occurred, he went out and got in the RV. This gentleman that I was speaking to was sitting in the RV with Zach's mom, who travels with him everywhere. And he was in tears. Zach's mom asked if he was all right. He said, "All right, I just want to hold my puppy for a while." And he went to the back of the RV and laid down with his puppy because it shook him to the core that much. But you did not get to see that on the episode because that would not be in character for what he has developed his character to be, to keep those ratings at the very top. Is he a douche? Yeah, he's got some great shows canceled because he turned to the network and said, "If you renew them, I walk." That's millions to the network. But at the same time, nobody I know personally has made the strides that he has made in this field, the open doors that he's opened to get into locations that he's been able to get into, and nobody in this field has the bank because of this field like he does.
just because of his genius in the marketing aspect. So I'll give him kudos on that. But as far as what he's like, true life, real life, off camera, I don't know. So I won't even say. I did read his book. His book is very thoughtful, very insightful, very well-versed. Now, I don't know how much of that was edited.
I've heard from people that he's actually a very nice guy off camera. You know, he's down to earth. He's normal. Well, more normal than you see him on camera. He's like, you know, halfway decent human being. But
yeah,
that's the stuff. I've never met him. He's like, did the guy ever come across this side of the country? Like, he's always over there.
I don't think so. I think he's more out west coast.
I've never seen anything with him out this way ever. I'm not sorry. I don't attend those events. Those people right anyway.
I think, you know, Ronnie Anderson says he is a douche. Met him. But yes, he is a genius. Jeremy's statement is it's all business. And Ronnie comes back with 26, 27 seasons. Can't be wrong. He's doing something right. He's got the number one show and has been for, you know, two decades. So let's see. Steve White says, why would you guys think that on UFO crafts they are seen with lights around them? We do this for planes and jets to warn others who are in flight. Most would think they would try to go unseen and not with lights. You know, that's a good question. I never thought about it. Why do UFOs always show up with all these bright lights and there's a whole ring of lights? And they look like a giant fucking disco ball up there in the sky. Common sense would say they should be a little more stealth, but I guess they're not really worried about us. Something tells me they have a little better defenses and technology than we do.
I'm pretty sure if they can get here, they'll kick our ass.
Yeah, it's kind of like the linebacker going to peewee football. He's not going to stand back and be afraid.
They can make it to this planet. They're a little more sophisticated than we are, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
very true.
It does make me wonder, though, what kind of shit is our government? All right, let's take Area 51. We've captured this downed UFO. We reverse engineered it. Why are we still running fossil fuel aircraft? If we have supposedly captured this aircraft and we have supposedly reverse engineered the technology, why are we, 50, 70 years later still running fossil fuel for our aircraft? I don't think we haven't captured one.
You can get into another whole conversation about that if you get into the money that's been made from fossil fuels.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That is. I mean, if you stop using oil, then pretty much everything in our world is going to do. Think about it. Very, you know, shoes you wear are made from oil. There's holes in them. It's an important part of our existence.
And that brings another good point. So I've got a 2020 Dodge Ram. I get about 19 miles to the gallon. But we've all heard that story, that legend of the old man that retired as a design engineer or whatever from, you know, Ford or Chrysler or Chevrolet. He got into the computer and he modified a couple of this and a couple of that. And he's, you know, 75 miles to the gallon in his old F-150. What would happen with our economy? My truck didn't get 19 miles per gallon, but 90. Our economy would go,
pretty much. Too much money to lose. And it's like, you know, I worked in the medical field, and the same thing with, I'm a manager at a local lab, you know, hospital laboratory. I deal with, I'm a histologist by trade, so, make my living off of working on specimens that come down for surgery. So we pretty much produce tests for what's called pathologists to actually diagnose cancers and so forth. Pharmaceuticals and everything are, you know, have a lot to say. I mean, there's been claims that there's been a cure for cancer for how many years? You know, and they got too much money to lose. I mean, the other side, is there too much money to lose? Because if you cure cancer, then what else is there to try and cure? Where's all the money going to come? There, you know, half the medication that they feed us in our, you know, down our throats, they might cause the cancer that we're trying to diagnose.
I think the truest statement about that I've ever heard is patients equal money, cures equals broke.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it applies with, you know, anything that makes a lot of money. I mean, we're all just pawns. That's all we are. We're just numbers.
Savage, wake up. No, Jeremy, he's awake.
We're just numbers, that's all. Just have a number on our forehead, and when we move on to the next world, they give that number to somebody else.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
That's true.
That's what it is. How significant we really are. But, you know, in the greater scheme of things, there's things I don't really want to know. I mean, too much knowledge is dangerous as well. So I'm happy being ignorant to some degree, just going around doing my thing and living my life and happy about it. Seeking knowledge, I end up seeking trouble sometimes. So it's
true. Now, you know, today was a perfect example of pretty much mass hysteria. Meta went down for, an hour? People lost their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Internet providers' phone services were blowing up because everybody thought the internet was down. Now it's just Meta. There's a ton of other. My Google still works. I could still do Google searches, and I could still read my articles. But people lost their minds because this is their focus. This small width of view that they have, and there's this huge expanse of everything else. If we were to tell them that we have evidence, and here is actual footage of a UFO that went down in the middle of Nevada. These are the grays that came out of it. People would lose their ever-loving minds thinking that we were under attack, and you wouldn't be able to buy fucking toilet paper again.
Well, they tried that with the story of War of the Worlds, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Yeah. And, you know, look at the fucking hysteria that caused when they did that. I mean, that was, you know, I've read the books on it. Watch the movie, right?
Yeah.
When these things come along, it's, you know, that changes everybody's perspective. When we don't have our happy, secure little worlds, we're used to living in our own little bubbles and change that. And that causes causes some nasty stuff. And, you know, if there's anything to be made from, any kind of, you know, monopolizing to be made from it, money, you'll have to cut off people's heads to get it.
Oh, yeah. Orson Welles turned the world upside down for that brief period of time. And, you know, we look back at it now and go, well, that was so stupid. It was one radio broadcast. But if that's the only radio broadcast you can get, that's your reality. You know, at that time, radio was your news, was your entertainment, was everything, which so many people, this, right here in front of us, Facebook, that's their everything. That's their news. That's their entertainment. That's their connection to friends, loved ones, and everything else. This is their eye to the world.
You know, that's just Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok, Snapchat. Yeah, my kids are, you know, I'm 50. I mean, we're all probably around the same age, give or take. Okay? We all know, remember the day going out and playing outside with our friends. Come home when the lights get dark. Going out the street. Is that okay? My kids sit in their damn bedrooms upstairs with the telephones all the time. We have to force them out of the house to get them to the gas station just to actually free there.
There's this big thing in the sky called the sun. Go get some.
Yeah, they refuse. And if they do, they'll go outside and they'll find a tree somewhere and they'll lean against a tree probably. It's sad, but that's the reality we live in. The world is, you know, first of all, the world is very small because of it. There's no sense of imagination anymore where you have to think about what the sidewalk looks like. Now you just load up a picture on Facebook or on your go to Google and you can see pretty much anything that's it. I mean, there's maps out there. You can zoom right in on your damn house in space. There's photographs. So there's no more secrets, there's no more privacy, the government's watching every damn thing. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but just being realistic, everything's controlled these days. It's easy to control us, manipulate us.
Well, I mean, obviously the satellite thing is a true statement. There's even a TV program called What on Earth, and it's all based on what satellite images are seeing.
It's funny, they can't see the, like somebody robs a bank and they can't see their face clearly, but they can focus in on the goddamn dime on the street.
Oh, yeah. That camera in the banks ain't worth a shit. Now. Everybody looks like a picture of Bigfoot, but then read a dime. Right, so I'm going to throw this question at Savage. Wake up, John. Steve White wants to know why so many haunted dolls? What's your take on haunted dolls? Surely they don't all have attachment.
How about a tick? It was a fad. That's all it is.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, so you're telling me Robert isn't haunted?
Don't tell us that.
No, Barbie and Ken are not haunted.
Well, you know why Barbie and Ken never had kids, right?
Because he came in a different box.
Yep.
There we go again.
And there's Dennis leading the train. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know that it's all a fad. I think, if we go back through history and we look, everybody always believed that dolls were a perfect vessel for carrying spirit. So I don't think all dolls have attachments, but I think some do.
Oh, yeah.
And I think some do mostly because this was Susie's little cherished doll. And just like, that buck knife was Grandpa Joe's cherished knife. He stuck with it. Part of his energy stuck with it. Part of Susie's energy stuck with that doll. I know for a fact that items can hold energy. I myself am victim of one such instance. So I know they can, and I also know it can jump from that object to a person. So, Steve, I think most of it is, well, and it depends on which doll you're talking about. If you're talking about some of the famous ones right now, I think most of that is simply because they want money. I mean, come on. They make the show circus. They're at all the Paracons. Don't open the case. Don't pet the doll. It makes them a little bit famous. Is it bullshit? Yeah, but I think there is a percentage of dolls. And if you think way back to, and we're getting into Egyptian times, some of the sarcophagi had dolls placed in them that would be retrieved in a couple of years because it was believed that the deceased would then occupy the doll.
Hmm.
So I don't think all of them are haunted. I think it is possible. But I think it's only a certain number of them, and I don't think it's because of where the doll is. Now, the cabin on 360, I think we've got like 8 or 10 dolls at the cabin. I know there's at least a couple of them that can do shit, but a piece of plastic with some cloth around it shouldn't be able to do, and I've watched them do it. Do they have spirit attachment? Yeah. Why? I'll be dipped in shit and rolled in honey if I know, but they've done things. I mean, when a team can show a picture off of their video of the doll with its arms down and a little bit later an arm is up, and they ain't touched it. You don't see anybody come on camera to touch that doll. Something ain't right. Ask Lyle from Twisted what he thinks about Caitlin. I watched him almost shit himself.
We were all sitting in the main room of the cabin. Caitlin was leaned forward, leaned against the window, had her arm up at the glass. And then people called a bitch that there was a kid in the house. But Lyle was sitting about 2 feet behind Caitlin, who was leaned forward, and she toppled backwards against gravity, bounced off his leg. And his reaction was look down to see the doll. He looked up at us, and he went, y'all saw that shit, right? He shoved his chair back a few feet, and he goes, yeah, she can stay right where she's at. But, I mean, there was no excuse for that doll to go from a forward-leaning position
right.
to fall backwards against gravity.
Right.
But she's the same one that cameras have caught moving her arm, lifting her arm. So, I mean, yes, dolls can carry energy just like anything else.
Yeah.
I think most of the dolls that are making like the paranormal paracon circuit now carry energy because the owner wants to make money. Well, that's my absolute take on it. But I'll be the first one to call a bullshitter out. Annabelle. Do I think it's haunted?
No.
I've never met Annabelle. But I don't know. I find it hard to believe that it truly is.
The only thing with that doll, per se, is that was a doll that existed in the nature that it is now, you know, with the Adderall, the whole doll thing. That's long before what you have these days, though. I mean, that was something that was, you know, before it became a money-making thing like you're saying. So, I mean, to say that one is, I don't know. I think that's before the fad, you know?
Yeah,
well, the whole thing off. Maybe everybody tried to mimic the Annabelle thing, but that one there, yeah, maybe I give a little more to that because it was
before it was cool.
It wasn't cool. It wasn't the famous at the time to do it. You know, it wasn't a. I don't know. It seems to be like that story that came from it, making movies and all that stuff. That's where the monopolizing the money from it is coming in. But I think at the time when that was taken, I thought it might be more legitimate than a lot of today's dolls that you talk about.
I believe it probably was at one point, but I don't think it is now.
It might have lost. Yeah, I mean, it's possible it no longer is. I'm going to move on. But
thanks, Jeremy.
Have a great night, Jeremy. Thanks
Thank
for the
you.
Questions, brother. Let's see, who asked this back here? Ronnie Anderson. I'm gonna pick your brain again, Frank. Do you think we actually landed on the moon in 1969?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I think we did. No, I have to say we did. I think there was a big push at the time that we were competing against the Russians for it. I honestly think that they did do that. I think there would have been too many people that would have spoke up or something would have come out if they didn't. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there about it, but I know reference like shadows and all that stuff and whatever, all the people tear apart the pictures, but I didn't really think that they went out there. There's too many trips, too many people involved, something would have come out. It was too big of a story to cover up, and I think the Russians would have been all over it. If we didn't, they would have picked it apart.
I agree with that because it was truly a race against Russia.
That was something that they, I think they made it a goal and they made it happen. That's it. I think that why we haven't gone back. I don't know. We're just saying
there's talk about them going back.
The question is, we're 54 years later, and I know this for a fact because I was born 2.5 weeks after that first moon landing. So 54 years later, why have we not gone back? Was it just that...
Money.
Oh, bullshit. We give trillions to this, that, and the other, and we got $400,000
for this. We have a purpose now. We're looking to colonize, say, Mars. So, and, you know, they're not not an astrophysicist here, but what I've read on an understanding of it is that you have to use the gravity of the moon in order to slingshot around it in order to, or launch from the moon with less resistance to make a mission to Mars. So they have to have that, you know, taking off from Earth would burn off too much or would too costly to here. They have to do it from there. That's stories I've read or books I've read in reference to or news or I watch that stuff on TV. You know, I think that watch those space shows and whatever else. But that, you know, they think they're using the moon for a different purpose now. They're looking to use it to stand, you know, humanity. You have a slingshot point where you can take off to another planet or whatever. So,
Wherever,
I mean, something along those lines. I think it's saying, again, it's no astrophysicist here, but I think that's the concept now that they're looking to use it.
Ronnie, I love you, man. Thank you for that one, brother. Ronnie Richard, we haven't gone back yet because the Democrats haven't figured out how to fuck up two places at once.
Birds aren't real.
That's
about right. Chris Manchero, birds are not real. Birds aren't real.
They are real until they get caught in the Matrix glitch and then they just stop. But, yeah, I, you know, Dave, you said money is the issue as to why we haven't gone back to the moon. I think that's bullshit. They can spend money on this, that, and you know, 10 times over on dumb shit. You know, well, look at the
$34 trillion debt now, so, you know, why not?
Yeah. I mean, look at the International Space Station. What have we accomplished there in, what, 2 decades? This giant hunk of metal shit's been floating in our atmosphere for 2 decades. What have they learned from it? What have we actually accomplished in the billions that they've spent on it?
Well, I would hope that they've taken the opportunity to identify how the human body can handle not having gravity per se for a certain amount of time, and growing, see if they can use that the atmosphere, to create plants for sustaining life, whatever, sure, use it for scientific purposes. In order to, also to get an observation point up there, observe the Earth and the changes of the Earth. Of course, I think there's a lot of benefits to that, but I think I think about growing it now. look at you taking it to the next level now.
And that's what I've been waiting on, was to see what the next step is. Okay, you have proven that we can build this station.
We
built a domicile in space. Mm-hmm. What's next?
So now it's a matter of, we're sending all these missions to Mars and everything, and we're landing all kinds of little robot things all over Mars and sending up helicopters, testing the atmosphere, testing for dirt, looking for water. I mean, there's a chance for something bigger. It's like anything, it just takes time to develop. Same thing with places where it's paranormal. I mean, we all have an idea and we think something exists. But none of us really have the tools to prove that it does. We use devices that aren't necessarily made for that reason, as we all know. And have conversations about that for hours, about all the shitty devices that people come up with in order to try and capture, what seems to be paranormal activity here. So, but we're all hoping that someday we develop that perfect equipment that's going to give us that $1 billion photograph. It's going to take time to get to that point. The same thing, I guess, step by step, just baby steps.
Right.
Now, the space station is another step towards the eventual colonization of other planets and space travel, like Star Wars, Star Trek kind of thing, Takes time to get there. The idea is there. You look at some of the stories, technology, the ideas were there, and they were in movies before they became reality. So a little over time, things were developing. Having that Roswell crash, maybe they took something from that, and stealth fighters, and you can go on and on and on for all the different possibilities.
And then it takes us right back to that conversation we had a little while ago in the show where the general public, for the most part, can't handle the truth.
Right.
If they honestly were proven and given definitive information and definitive proof that aliens have been here, I think it's good to shit out of the general population.
Absolutely. Well, they say they're already here all amongst us anyway. I mean, it depends who you talk to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which group of people you want to speak with that day will give you a different story, different version of the story at least.
I'm a perfect example of that. Some people will tell you that I'm all rainbows and unicorns, and other people will tell you I'm an asshole. Those are my people.
I'm in the latter group.
I think there is something in the grand scheme of things. I don't think we have achieved what they want to get with it. But, you know, only time will tell. And like you said, we grow small steps in the paranormal. You know, it used to be we used the K2 meter that was, an electrician's device to find energy in a power box or behind a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out here walking around with it going, oh, shit, it's going off. There must be a ghost here. But it was never intended for paranormal purposes. Thanks, Ronnie. I assume you're referring to B, as in Dennis is an asshole. But, yeah, I mean, everything is in small increments. And I think the more we do it and the more minds like us all get together, we can actually get somewhere. Instead of all the infighting that's being done and all the bullshit that you see so much, the paradrama, you know, I would rather have, like, this screen right now that's in front of me. There are four brilliant minds and a bunch over on the right-hand side in the chat. And I say four brilliant minds because I'm excluding myself. I'm not brilliant. I'm about as smart as a mess that's wet. But I think if we actually put that brain power together, we can, A, benefit each other, and, B, benefit this field.
Egos first. It's all about egos. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and you know, Jerry, you've known her for years now. I mean, anybody knows
me. Do you openly admit that?
Yeah. Love Jerry. Jerry's great. Jerry's done some wonderful things for our group from down in Virginia down there. So, we stay away from it. You know, my group doesn't go to those paranormal events. We don't go to this festival. We do our own thing. We don't go hang out with big fans that were somewhat excluded from that circle. And I'm better off for it. I mean, so everybody starts out that way. I mean, we had our mentors like everybody else did. Start out, you think you all watch the advent of the television shows, and you know, oh, we can do that. And then you follow behind the people that have been doing it for a while and realize that, you know, no disrespect to them. They're all nice people in their own respect. But I just don't have a need to hang out with them. I don't have a need to go and be a VIP at a party. I don't need to be up. As I look at it as a, I give one episode of Ghost Nation a couple years ago. And it was a great experience. I got to see the other side of it. Learned that I don't ever want to be a part of it again. It was a one-time deal for me. It was great. I moved on quickly from it. But I was there, and you know, the truth of the matter is much as I have respect for everybody and their opinions in this, whatever you do with this, you know, they didn't do anything different than I do every day. They just happen to be making money from
it. They were in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. There's no disrespect to them because they're just, you know, they're nice guys, whatever. I mean, you know, and I worked right alongside of them for a few days and had a good time while we did it. When I'm out in the field doing what I do with my group, I mean, we don't get involved with that drama. We stay clear of it. And we're better off, we're happier for it. We have our own circle. We're all family. We're all friends. We all get along. Got 30 members. We've got four different squads across state New Jersey. We do our thing, and we don't get involved with the bullshit. here clearly. And, you know, we managed to be 15 years later. We're going strong. So, you know, I didn't have to be a part of that circle to feel like I accomplished something. I did it on my own. So to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I do agree with you, Dennis. I mean, I think if you get enough people that want to make a difference and want to put their head together, you can make a difference. If you leave the ego, leave the ego at the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, you know, it shouldn't be about that. It should be about, you know, where I'm in it to try and assist people. I mean, I don't know how much you know about what Michael does, but, you know, we're into the resolution side, I think, more so than the actual investigation. I mean, I do a lot of stuff with historical locations. We do that end of it as well. But private homes are our thing, and we our intentions are truly to go in and try and assist those who need assistance. I'm not trying to get famous while I'm doing it.
I am in that same boat. We do, yes, Ronnie Anderson, para-unity is a real thing, but only amongst those that have checked their ego at the door and stepped forward to go, I want to move this forward, or I want to help this location. Perfect example was this Saturday night, we did Pamplin Historical Park. It was my team, Crop, Fredericksburg researchers, FBRI, Christian and Christy came down, and they're with Pandora's Peregrination, and BPI, Gwen was there helping, you know, it was a bunch of different teams all came together with one common purpose, and that was to help a location make money and help the general public investigate this location to make it some money. So yes, para-unity is a real thing, but only amongst those that have, as Frank said, they've checked their ego at the door, and they have a better cause in mind than their own betterment. So that's
you say you won't see us involved. Crucial. Events. I mean, members of our group, they'll explore, they'll go, and I'm not saying that they won't go to them on their own, just to go and, you know, somebody across the body or whatever, or go and explore the things that might be for sale there at these events. But if you don't make it a point of going, you'll never see me setting up a table at a Power Unity event. You know, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to do that. We're better off for it. We're much happier because we don't get involved. We don't have to deal with the drama. So don't bother me. Stay away from it. I don't have any desire to be a part of it.
It's only because that beautiful lady there asked you.
Truly, honestly, that is it. I mean, Jerry worked gracious enough to invite me on. I appreciate you guys having me on, of course. I'll do it again. If you guys ever want me on, I'll be happy to join you.
No, we appreciate it.
You know, it's been great.
Yeah.
I appreciate the conversation because I like to keep it real, you know. This is about.
So hopefully you've enjoyed yourself. And even though I failed on the rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, well, we set you up for that too in the beginning. It was all right. You were going to fail.
That was done in 2 minutes, bro. As soon as they told me, I went, oh, I see Dennis is behaving. Yeah, well, fuck. All right, let's go back to just be Dennis. And, I mean, those that David and Jerry and John have all met me in person. I am the same in person as I am on here. I am the same as I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This is me. You know, I don't change for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I call it like I see it. At the end of the day,
more respect for it. You do that as well.
Yeah. At the end of the day, nobody will ever walk away going, "Yeah, I wonder what Dennis thinks of me."
He'll know
when they walk away.
Yeah, he'll know.
They might be in tears when they walk away, or they might be a little bit proud of themselves because they know how Dennis feels.
He'll know.
It's exactly like I told you about that 360 degrees, brother. I only occupy one up.
Yeah.
But and it's nice to meet other people that are as real.
Yeah.
In person, I can be worse. Ronnie, you're right. Good night, Shayla. Sweet dreams, son.
Good night, Shayla. Thank
Anderson.
You.
I love you too, brother.
I'm gonna
hit Steve with this question. How many times have you guys had a paranormal experience without using any investigation tools? Hot seat, Frank.
I've had them. I mean, I just say I've deal with what we're dealing with.
Good night, Robbie.
From an investigation point of view, yes, I've seen plenty of things. I've seen figures walk across rooms. I know what I saw. I'm not going to, nobody can take that from me. Didn't need a piece of equipment to tell me that I saw it either.
Right.
So, it is what it is. I've heard voices. While we're standing in a room, you'll hear that audible response from time to time. So I don't think you've got, and to be honest with you, I got probably like 12 boxes of gear over here, and when I walk around, I'm looking for a wish for an account. That's it. I wish I had all the money back for the shit that I bought over here. My bank account would be a little bit thicker. I rely on my brain. I rely on a voice recorder account. That's it. So I don't need a fancy K2 meter in my hand in order to have that conversation. But I just recognize there's too many things that go wrong with that K2 meter that I can't trust it. So not to say we don't have them, but I do believe you have to put the hook with the worm on it in order to catch the fish. You have to throw something out. You can't throw a hook out with nothing on it, and you're going to have a hard time catching the fish, right? You have to try things, and I think the important thing to recognize with these equipment is that you have the equipment for a reason. You also have to know the limitations of the equipment. You got to respect the equipment. And I think if you can do that and you keep it real, it actually does have value because you have to have some sort of interaction.
Right.
But from an experience point of view, most of my experiences I've had are just my personal experiences. I don't need to rely on equipment for it. So I don't know if I answered the question or not, but that's my answer. So,
yeah. And how about you, Savage? What would you say your percentage of having an experience without any tools would be?
I would say at least 60-70% easily. I mean, I don't rely on, like K2 meters and things like that. That's just toys and everything else. Unless it's like something that's designed to be scientific in nature, like the old tri-field meters, magnetometers, something that can data log the environment that I can go back and look at. Data logging. But most of the time, like what Frank was saying, when I'm out doing stuff, I just have my recorder and a GoPro just for documentation purposes.
I go down to the back, read all the signs on the wall, pick that in, and I would sit there and they hand me the keys this place. And I'd sit in the middle and all the people would be doing their investigation around me. All the buildings would be occupied with people who came to come in and do it. And we were there, gave them a good time. We showed them a good time. But I would sit in the middle of this fort holding those keys, looking up at the stars and saying, wow, here I am holding the key to a fort that was built before the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
In a place where 300, 400, 500 men died in this very spot right here. Okay? In a little skirmishes, battles that took place there. And that was just taking in the atmosphere. And that was so much more to me to be able to have the honor of holding that key. Someone trusted me.
Right.
A little histotech from New Jersey with the key to Fort Mifflin. That's what it's all about for me. The paranormal side, I investigated the place. It was great. I had a good time there. I sports, sure. But I always found more value just going there and just sitting there in the middle of the place, just taking in the sounds. And actually putting myself in that place, just visualizing what it was like. That's much more important to me than investigating a cleanse.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I've got, you know, this Saturday I mentioned we were at Pamplin Historical Park. It's 424 acres of battlefield from the Civil War. While the groups were all going out, I've got five groups moving about the property, and I went and stood in the middle of the breakthrough line, which was the earthworks, where the Union and Confederate went head to head, and I just stood there and listened. And I closed my eyes and I pictured what it was like at that moment that 5th Vermont charged the earthworks. And 37th North Carolina did their damnedest to repel that. I just tried to take that in.
And the thing about, like, Gettysburg, you know, if you've ever been to Gettysburg or not, but, you know, Gettysburg is a northern gem up here, you know, Pennsylvania, and it's talk about a solemn ground. As soon as you get into the area, you just feel it. I'm not talking paranormal, you just feel the history. You feel it. You feel the emotion that should overtake you when you're in that spot. So how many men died there? But, you know, you look at it and I say, you know, try to visualize it. Here you are standing here in the middle of a battlefield where at one point in time, 200,000 men, wherever, okay, came together and were, you know, fighting for the life. You know, they have this, all the smoke everywhere, all they hear is sounds, cannon fire, gunfire, maybe drum rolls, commanders yelling out things. You know, on the brink of their own death, sitting there saying that any given second, their own personal extinction can happen just like that. Talk about energy.
Yeah.
Talk about just this, you know, take that in for a second. Just don't even think of it as paranormal. I mean, they're the cause of that. But that emotion, that just being able to say that you're in that spot, and you have in this great country that we live in, you can be this. I mean, we have our shitty moments in this country, but if there's a place like that, you gotta really take it in, and you gotta respect what the country is built on, and that's you know, like no matter which side you're on, north or south. That's some serious shit. There, when you think about, you know, and 57,000 people died in 3 days on that battlefield. That's as much as the Vietnam War total. That's a hell of a lot of energy. That's a hell of a lot of emotion, and that means so much more to me to be there and to pay them homage for that. Regardless of which side you believe in, winner or loser, it doesn't matter. We're all Americans in that situation. This is just an amazing experience to be there and to take that in. And I think that's what you should take out of it. The honor that you as an investigator, now I get to go into private homes as well. I mean, I'm sure you guys do as well. And that's different because you're there trying to assist somebody. But when we're doing what we fundamentally are in it to do, and we started all thinking we were going to be going and exploring these wonderful, beautiful homes, so forth, you know, you don't get that opportunity. You don't get that privilege unless people, number one, trust you.
Right.
Okay, and you know, and you better damn respect it,
right.
Because anybody who's going to disrespect that kind of situation, that kind of history, it just needs to be punched in the damn face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because I mean, to me, it's so much more than just the paranormal. The paranormal comes with it. You know, those people are there. They want to talk. They want to tell their story. You know, we give them the opportunity to do that, whether it be through just like you say, listening, running around with a voice recorder, running around with a GoPro or a camera or maybe putting that K2 meter out. But we're trying to communicate with them in a way to give them an opportunity to tell their story. It's fascinating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Savage down there is as lucky as you with Mifflin. He's got Fort Monroe down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm jealous of the two of you for that, you know, unrestricted access. And I've got, any time I can call Banchero, who's in our chat, he's head of operations Pamplin Historical Park. Anytime I could call him and go, hey man, I'm going out in the middle of the field tonight. And he would give me the grant, the approval for it. But his comment in the chat was, I live my dream every day and never take it for granted. So he's the chief of operations of 424 acres of battlefield right at the breakthrough lines that probably are the cause of Lee surrendering. It was the final defensive line protecting Richmond. He works that ground every day.
That's a gift right there. You don't get that opportunity. Not everybody can say they can do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've been blessed by, I've done 800 investigations. I don't know, 900, a lot. I've been doing it for 15 years, a lot of investigations. And every time I get the opportunity to go to a place like that, it's just mesmerized by the beauty of the history of it. I mean, to me, it takes me, it sucks me right in.
There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of history there. A lot.
There's history all around us.
Yeah, there is.
The problem is today's world is getting back to children. They're more concerned with their telephones than preserving that history.
Right.
So I've gotten the opportunity, instead of being on a town committee that preserves a history of smaller area islands, the 27 square miles of Gloucester Township, New Jersey. I'm helping preserve that history, but more people would just take that, and be able to preserve what this country was built on.
Right.
This world would be much better. The world in general, instead of fighting over
24 years,
having egos, not egos over.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that everything, including the paranormal, has been corrupted by it.
Right.
That all revolves around money and ego.
Yeah.
And I think the world would flow much smoother without the second part of that. We drop out the ego. The world would flow much smoother. I think money would be much less valuable.
Well, money's not the problem. It's the desire for the money that's the issue.
Yeah.
The money, it's like a gun. The gun is not the criminal. The person pulls the trigger, that's a criminal. But yeah, in this country, we seem to be forgetting about that. We're taking, again, we're not getting too political on our thing, but yeah.
Greed,
greed.
That's
what it is, what it comes down to.
Yeah, Ronnie said greed.
The world's oblivious to many of the things we should be oblivious to. We've become too easy for people. In a lot of ways, and how to work for is hard.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, so, true.
I don't know.
So what's our fix, Frank? What's the fix?
If I knew, I'd be a lot wealthier than I am now. There comes that grief part coming in for me too,
Exactly.
But who the hell knows? I mean, the truth is, it's tough. I mean, it's very tough raising kids these days. I mean, it's tough existing things. It's tough paying your bills these days. I mean, I don't know what, first, a gallon of gas. I mean, $3.20 up here for a gallon of gas. I don't know how that compares to where you guys are, but that's a lot of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. And it makes it to the point where you have a hard time paying your bills.
I'm a contractor by trade. I'm driving crew cab pickup truck. I'm dropping $100 or more a week.
And that's a lot of profit right there. $100 a week is a lot of profit. And that makes everything, that drives up the prices for everything. So that oil thing we talked about earlier in the conversation, but unfortunately that's the world we live in now. They're pinching this to the point where it's possible for us to it's almost like they want to knock the middle class out of existence, Sadly, another whole topic for another time. There's nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It definitely doesn't fit in the paranormal realm, too.
Paranormal square table.
Maybe it's the demons that are causing them to be green.
It'd be.
But it's unfortunate. Because, we do a lot of home questions and cleansings, and I've dealt with individuals, and from the paranormal side of things, answer the questions before. There was the tools and dealing with, without having to deal with experiences with the leaders and stuff like that. Some of the stuff I've seen while I've done cleansings of houses, visuals and working on people that are speaking in tongues and their eyes are rolling back in their head and figuring out people getting scratched right in front of you. These are surreal things that I have witnessed. So to extend on that question, it's not only is there the paranormal side where you're dealing with speaking to the ghost, there's actually the side where you're trying to educate the ghost to or force it to go, that becomes that's a whole challenge in and of itself. And those experiences are most of the time surreal. I don't know if you've ever experienced those kind of things, but dealing with, some of that scary stuff puts a lot of things in perspective for you with the world.
And I think a lot of the ghost hunter, not the actual investigators, but I think a lot of the thrill seekers that are doing this, I think they lose their damn mind and run the other way from the field entirely if they encountered some of what you just spoke of.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And it takes a certain type of person to want to actually get involved with it. And I always tell my group, there's no right or wrong. It's not meant for everybody. I do the work. I didn't start out thinking I would be involved with a group that did, start out with three people. Here we were those enthusiasts that wanted to run around the graveyard with a K2 meter. That's all we were. But as time went on, it developed. And here we are. We carry 72 different types of herbs. We have about 10 different types of holy water. We carry prayers from every major religion. We're first in I don't know how many types of cleansings or things along those lines. And that takes time, it takes education, and it takes less ignorance. You can't be an ignorant person and want to, you have to be a certain type of person to want to do that. So I've gone to places where I've had to deal with individuals that are, pretty scary predicaments.
I do know. Firsthand, you saved my life. I can tell you that. Because if you wasn't there, if y'all wasn't there, you were on spot when that situation happened. On spot, like little doctors handing off tools. They knew exactly what to do. Forever grateful. Definitely. And when he says what they've seen is, just everything from somebody's eyes rolling in the back of their head, they are not lying. I'll never forget that.
Sister.
Definitely not making that up. So, that changes things for you when you put yourself in that. You open that door, you're not closing.
Yeah.
You're not closing that door. And that's the commitment that you have to make to yourself, that you're going to realize that for the rest of your life.
You
never close that door.
Nope.
I love the ones that ask, can I just kind of peek in and see what it's like?
No.
You don't want to see it. You can't unsee it. Okay? Yeah. That's the reality of it is, I've seen things that I can't explain. I tell a story of a case I had one time where a young man who had gone into a firehouse and used a Ouija board to go to a firehouse and him and his dad. And after he left there, he started having all kinds of problems. Well, we got called to go assist this young guy here and it'll blow your mind. You have to see it to believe it. But this kid was sitting next to me. This would be interesting. It's the real thing about it, okay? Sitting next to him, this kid starts speaking in tongues, and his eyes are rolling back, and he goes catatonic, and he starts gasping for air, and comes out of it, and then he's himself, and he goes back, and he's looking at me, and he says, "Hey, it bears to me," and that kind of thing. That's really, in that voice and everything, and in the moment, and we're sitting next to him, and I'm literally knee to knee with this. Got a couple people with me there, and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and I'm sitting next to something that wants to tear my damn face off. That's been around probably since the beginning of time. That's pretty damn surreal, okay? Mm-hmm. So we took this kid outside, and this is where it got weird. This is the part you have to see the whole thing to believe it to start with. But this particular part, I never thought I'd ever see like this. This kid went running away from us. In a pretty damn fast pace, quicker than I could run. But the thing wasn't that he ran, but the fact that he got lifted about 10 feet in the air right in front of us and slammed down on the ground like a rag doll. And we looked at him and like, holy shit, did that just really happen? It's one of those moments where you don't even have words for it. He was probably like 20 feet from us, 25 feet from us. He got literally lifted like someone picked him up like one of those dogs talking about and slammed him into the ground. And he came back to us all wobbling and hurting. And the people we were with were like, what just happened? We really just witnessed that, you know? And we looked at each other and said, well, we can't do anything with this kid right now. We need reinforcements. This is, we don't have enough people here to deal with this. We try to deal with this now, we're going to get our ass handed to us. And the next day, there were people that did heavy work on him and ultimately resolved the problem. And I have spoken to the father since that time, and you're enough of gratitude because nobody ever expects that. Okay, and those are the kind of things that you can be talking into. We don't realize you're into. This is, it's, you know, it's all fun and games when you see that.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you see it in two different perspectives. When, you know, we go out with the meters and we have fun, we get to explore and love. So when I get the opportunity to go in places and I can take in history, to sit there and actually just, you know, be enamored by the actual place, the location I'm in, that's like a gift to me.
Yeah.
Because I know the reality of what it's like walking all around me. And I just have that couple minutes of peace right there where I just take it in. So, and I can tell you stories for hours. Things like that. I mean, I'm sure you guys have stories of your own, from your own similar experiences with things your groups do. It's, you know, it's very, very real. And you gotta respect it. Gotta respect it. You know,
it's like a performance car or a race bike. If you don't respect it, it's going to kick your ass.
Yeah, it will kick your ass. And you have to be prepared for it. So we try to, you know, you hate to say train because, you know, we do training for our members. But, you know, training is such a light term here. Because what the hell are you training? You don't know. You know?
Yeah.
we do the best we can do to bring people on the same page. Okay, so we all, you know, we all kind of think in the same way before we go into these circumstances. And I mean, he's already taken some of our classes that we offer, and we try to educate, you know. But it's all speculation. We're not only saying you make it up, but your experiences that you're putting on paper, and you're trying to teach people that these are the realities that you can walk into. These are the realities that you can really deal with. You know, it's not about just going into that graveyard with that meter and having a good time. I mean, if you go to that graveyard with that meter, you're still going to bring something bad on you.
Right.
You don't try to fuck stuff against it. So it's the simplest of investigations to turn into a real disaster for you if you don't do what you need to do to protect yourself just a little bit.
Right.
And be aware of your surroundings. So there's two different worlds with it. You know, you have your fun side and you have that side of it. I mean, you know, I've been blessed and cursed at the same time with the experiences in both. So it's been enlightening for many years of life. Certainly has changed my perspective on the world.
Yeah.
It made me appreciate things that I used to take for granted. Mm-hmm. I know for sure or something else. Like you say, you know for sure that doll or that toy, that object you had was haunted, Dennis. I know for sure there's something else out there. So without a doubt in my mind, there's no way anybody's going to tell me any different. So the day I die and I experience it for myself in that realm, I know there's something different about this world. So we can talk about skeptics and all that stuff. You know, hey, I'm good with that. You can have your opinion. You know, you try to tell me that proves that it's real. I'm going to tell you the same thing proves to me it's not because I've seen enough shit and I've had experiences enough times without that equipment to answer that question way back. I know there's something going on. So I don't care what anybody tries to say or what, you know, threat you more or try intimidating me or whatever. You're never going to be able to because my world's a lot different than yours. And I have no problem telling someone to shove up their ass otherwise. But that's the way it works.
Oh my God, so yep. Much.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Sorry. But it's true, right? I mean,
it is.
Sitting on a little committee like me like this, you know, this is where you discuss those things. This is where you take those concepts and those ideas and those real experiences that people have, the ones that aren't ego driven, and you learn from them. And you share that knowledge and you try to express that, you express it in a way that you're taking from it, you're giving it. And that makes you stronger, makes you better. And, you know, if you leave the ego out the door, like we've said 100 times so far in this meeting here, so much can come from it. So much good can come from it. If people are just willing to listen, think they're, just stop thinking they're better than everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. I've done so much more. Well, maybe you have. Maybe you have, you know, you say 800, maybe 900.
That's all. Different.
Exactly.
Different.
I may have 1,000 investigations. It doesn't mean I am better.
Exactly.
It just means I've experienced different shit.
My experience is different than your experiences. It's combined, you can have a better understanding of the Lord.
That's where we can get the truth.
That's a good way of putting it there. So
when we put those two together, when we put those two together and you go, okay, well, I had this happen. I said, well, wait, I had this happen. Wait, but right before this happened, this happened. Oh, my God, that's the same shit that happened on mine. Now we're going to start finding common ground on it. Now's where we're going to learn something. This is a predate to this. On two separate incidences, 1,000 miles apart, what's the correlation? What's that defining factor that ties those two together? And that's where our notebooks and our minds and our egos
get left at the door. Leave them out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bring them in the door. As soon as you open that in, the whole thing goes to shit. One bad apple will spoil a whole bunch of it. And it's true.
That's true. That is very true.
Because now I'm going, yeah, but yours was this, mine was this. No, fuck all that. Yours was this, but here's the common denominator on it. And this is the interesting part. Ideas breed.
It's not about trying to disprove one out either. Try, you know, there's a way to, the way you, I can tell you a story, and I always put out there my evidence. I do evidence display or some of the lectures I do and so forth, and I tell people, well, fine, if you can give me a reason to debunk this that I haven't thought of, I will remove it from my PowerPoint right in front of you. But it's not about me trying to force negative, you know, bad shit up your wazoo. I'm trying to educate you, okay? And if you can educate me on something, I don't have an ego. That picture that I value so much, if you can debunk it, I'll remove it right in front of you, and I won't go back on. But then you taught me something. There's you can learn from everybody. Everybody can learn from everybody. And when, you know, and if you go into a situation where you, I tried doing a, creating a support group for the paranormal. We called it UPS, you know, Unified Paranormal Support. I started it years ago. It went like Europe. You know, when never anything came of it. And it was kind of like I always equated this to being the AA of the paranormal community. When I would go into a house and we ran out of options, or you had a case where you couldn't find an idea, an answer for somebody, my idea, my concept was to bring all these people together and have them talk about it. You know, have the two people that were having the experience, if they're willing to, come to each other in a meeting room somewhere and discuss, you know, what their experiences were. And maybe together with other people around them that brought them there, that people that didn't have the egos would come in, and together we'd be able to figure out a solution to their problem.
That's interesting.
That was something that I started it up, and then fucking Sandy hit up here. Hurricane Sandy, you know, my mouth is bigger. How many years ago is that, right? But it still exists. You can look it up. Unified Power Support is on my Facebook. You can probably find a link to it, but it never went anywhere. It was a sad thing, because I thought we had a good idea there, and it wasn't about us going in and lecturing people on what, you know, we thought they should do. It was about people coming together and discussing it. People that maybe were at the end of where you had no more ideas, I had no more ideas, and somewhere in that gray zone of that room there, we find a solution to their problems. But then, you know, if you get these roundtable things going here, it's all great until you get somebody who comes in and tries to fix the world.
Right.
You know, you're wrong because of this. No, you got to be open-minded and let people speak and let people have their own clear thoughts.
Right.
You know, if you take something from it, you know, there's no right or wrong. None of us here are experts. You know?
But I know.
No, you know.
I mean, not in the paranormal. I'm an expert asshole. But
that's
totally different.
Different conversation. Yeah, different conversation. I just enjoy talking to people and saying, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, I can learn so much. much, so many possibilities of things you can always learn. You never know it all. I mean, you don't care how many books you read. Those books are written by people just like you and I who had experiences, and some of them are ego-driven. Some of them are, you know, and other ones are, you know, more, you know, maybe you can get something from them.
They were just smart enough to take their concept and their ideas and put them on paper and make some money from it.
Make a few bucks for it, right. So.
Which, that reminds me, Jerry, I did not get last month's check for Paranormal Roundtable. Can you check with the accountant and see where the hell my check is?
Sure.
So it's a
All right, folks.
One thing. But anyway, we wrapping up here?
Yeah, we're wrapping up.
Are we like into somebody else's time here? Is that what we're doing? You see Vegas full live, right?
Well, normally normally our show is from 8 to 9. But Ryan wasn't doing the blog talk part of it, so I had a little bit of extra time on that end.
We're stepping on somebody's feet.
We're good. We're not stepping on his toes.
Okay.
No, the StreamYard portion.
StreamYard stays on, but, you know. But we do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I can tell you anytime.
Everybody,
hope you're filling in. Let me know. Give me some notice. I'll be more than happy to come in and stay with you guys. It's been great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Ronnie and Banchero, thank you all for hanging out with us till the very end, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Who we have next week?
Cat. I was writing that down in my book to make sure I said it right. Kat Schneider Gosch.
Yeah.
If I'm saying that correctly. So I'm waiting on a bio.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Night. Thanks.
Thank y'all for tuning in.
Bye.
And we're off.
It's a great conversation, Frank.
Yeah. You guys as well. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. It's been fun. Savage, your input as always, man.